A newly published atlas features detailed maps and charts of a part of the world mapmakers usually neglect, NPR's Alex Chadwick reports.
Even in the age of global positioning satellites and cars with guidance systems, people still like old-fashioned paper maps and the books they're collected in, atlases. But look at most maps of the world today, and you'll notice they mostly ignore oceans, paint them blue, and let it go at that. Now there's a new National Geographic Atlas of the Ocean with a team of contributors led by marine biologist and conservationist Dr. Sylvia Earle.
What you see in the major portrayals of the great ocean basins is the oceans in exquisite detail, and the land masses appear like giant islands floating around in the midst of this immense feature, or the features of the sea, that really dominate the world and the way the world works.
There have been maps of the seas before, and certainly there are navigational charts, but this is the first atlas to use the remote sensing technology of satellites, the first with the space agency NASA and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, as contributing partners. The satellites track temperature differences, which help show current patterns, all laid out in complicated flow graphs. The U.S. Navy helped, too. It has been making available to scientists some of its Cold War underwater acoustic imaging capability. The results, says Sylvia Earle, depicts the oceans better than has ever been possible, and in a way the subject deserves.
It isn't just rocks and water. It's a living system that generates oxygen, absorbs carbon dioxide, is home for most of life on Earth. The greatest diversity of life on Earth is really in the ocean. There's so much of this planet is dominated by the sea and the creatures there that some say we really ought to call Earth not Earth, but ocean. And when you first put your face in the sea and realize that there are creatures out there looking back, that this is a very lively place, populated from the top through the greatest ocean depths, that's 7 miles down. The average depth of the sea is 2.5 miles. The maximum, a few trenches reach that mighty depth that exceeds the height of Mount Everest, greater than Everest is like 29,000 and some odd feet. The greatest depth is 35,800 and a few feet.
When you look at these maps, I see on it things that, of course, I can't imagine when I look at the ocean. That is, chains of mountains on the ocean floor, a big ridge of mountains down the middle of the Pacific, another big ridge of mountains down the middle of the Atlantic.
Yeah, some 40,000 miles.
40,000 miles of mountain chains.
Mountain chains, right. Yeah. Just running down like big backbones down the great ocean basins as sort of a continuous feature. I mean, it was suspected that there were peaks and valleys and so on in the deep sea floor, but it's really in a lifetime of many of us now around that these major new breakthrough discoveries have been made.
There's this wonderful D.H. Lawrence quote that
you use
early in the book. Here it is. D.H. Lawrence says, "Water is H2O, hydrogen two parts, oxygen one part, but there's a third thing that makes it water, and nobody knows what that is."
Isn't that great? Water is magic. We are absolutely and totally dependent on the existence of water. Our own bodies are some 70% water. Chemical reactions, as we know them, would simply be impossible without this aquatic medium in which these processes occur. We should never, never take water for granted.
Sylvia Earle's new book is Atlas of the Ocean. Tomorrow, a radio expedition's report with Dr. Earle from the expedition she led this past summer to explore parts of the Gulf of Mexico. In Washington, this is Alex Chadwick, NPR News.